NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods, here with Weilin Wong.
Hello, it's great to be back. It's been weeks since I've been on here.
Good to have you back. We also have Climate Desk correspondent from NPR, Nate Rott.
Oh, hey. It's been a while for me, too, and I'm happy to be here.
Yes, the team is back together. We're gathered here today for a special edition of Indicators of the Week.
And like we do every week, we are bringing you three key snapshots of what's happening in the global economy. Today, we're looking at sky-high profits enjoyed by oil and gas companies, the risk of all of this debt in the commercial property sector, and the value of teeth. Teeth.
My dentist one time told me that I have my teeth of the consistency of cottage cheese, which was terrible thing. So
Whoa.
If you're not enticed already, you will be after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HubSpot. More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Doing business has never felt harder. But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You just need HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: higher quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
This message comes from Apple Card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase. That's 3% on products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Indicators of the Week, Nate Rott, hit us.
All right, so my indicator of the week is a gobsmacking $281 billion. That's how much some of the world's biggest oil and gas companies have made in profits since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine almost 2 years ago to the date. That's according to an analysis by the nonprofit group Global Witness commemorating the 2-year anniversary of the conflict.
And is that more than they'd typically make in that period?
It's way more than they would typically make. We're talking some of the biggest profits these companies have seen in the last decade.
And this is just because of all the market turmoil we saw after the war started?
Yeah, so, you know, think about all the sanctions that have been levied against Russia, which is the third largest oil producer in the world. Restrictions on imports from Russia, sabotage like what happened to the Nord Stream natural gas pipelines in the Baltic Sea. All of that led to near-record wholesale prices of oil and gas in 2022 and increased prices for consumers, some of which we're still seeing today.
And I'm sure the shareholders are laughing all the way to the bank.
You are exactly right, Darian. It has been very good for shareholders. The analysis by Global Witness compiled quarterly earnings and shareholder reports for the Big Five, so Chevron, BP, Shell, Exxon, and Total Energies, since the second quarter of 2022. And it found that they have paid $200 billion to shareholders since the start of the full-scale invasion in dividends and buybacks. Good news for them.
So do we have a sense of where else that money is going? Like, have the companies said in their earnings calls what they're investing in besides the dividends and buybacks?
Yeah, so they are making a lot of investments. We've seen some very large acquisitions. These companies are investing in things like hydrogen and carbon capture. They are expanding renewable energy production. But this is very small compared to what they're spending on acquiring new oil and gas production. And that is a reflection of the reality that oil and gas, while volatile, is still much more lucrative than renewable energy, largely because the damages caused by oil and gas consumption, like it being the hottest year on record last year, are not accounted for in those spreadsheets.
So we've got a terrible war that is enriching a subset of corporations that are using their windfall to further the climate crisis.
Yeah, happy Friday.
Well, I'm sure Darian will cheer us up. Darian, what do you have?
Okay. If you love to be anxious, maybe it's like a haunted house of indicators.
Get out of my brain, Darian.
So this indicator is 90 cents. which relates to commercial property. We've talked a lot about commercial property on this show for a while, and that 90 cents is the amount of reserves that big U.S. banks have for every dollar of bad commercial property debt.
That seems a little light. I'd be worried about my wallet.
Yeah, so say I'm a bank that's owed $1 million by an office block that is late on payments. I've only got $900,000 in cash ready in case that office block, or any of my other loans for that matter, default.
So should we be putting all of our money in gold bars, running for the hills? Like, well, what's our appropriate level of anxiety here?
So this particular statistic was brought to my attention by the Financial Times, and it is certainly a concerning trend because banks did seem to have a better buffer just a couple of years ago. Late paying loans for commercial property are rapidly growing. They doubled last year. But there are a couple of reasons to ease your concerns.
Lay them on us, Darian, in your soothing, dulcet tones.
All right. So number one, put these numbers into perspective. So it's true that some of these loans will lose a lot of value. Some office blocks have even sold for half of what they were bought for since the pandemic started.
I'm sorry, Darian. I thought you said that this was meant to be good news.
Look, the good news is that the overall size of the commercial property sector is much smaller than the residential property sector. And it's about a third of its size. And offices specifically, you know, the victims of work from home, they make up much less than that. And so even if there is a meltdown in offices because of work from home and higher interest rates, it won't be as catastrophic as a residential real estate crash. Now, the second reason is that this is something that bank regulators have been paying very close attention to. So even if commercial property does implode and it does hurt some banks, it won't be a surprise. And so what's been happening behind the scenes is that banking supervisors and regulators have been very active. Regulators like the Federal Reserve and the FDIC, they've been pledging to toughen up their oversight. They've been active with these secret report cards of banks. They've been scrutinizing things like the quality of banks' assets and the management teams even, and they've been issuing downgrades if they think they're needed.
Secret report cards, you had me there. So
I know, I was going to say.
So what you're saying is like Big Brother or Big Sister is watching. I guess that should make me feel better.
Yeah, so the upshot is that, look, some banks might fail, but there are some tailwinds that reduce the risk of this flowing through to the wider economy.
All right, Waylon, I am chomping at the bit. You see what I did there?
I did. My indicator is $5.84. That is the average payout for a lost tooth in the U.S.
That's a lot more than I ever got. I mean,
I was going to ask you, how much did you guys get for your baby teeth?
Maximum
$2. Maybe.
Maximum $2. Yeah, $1, maybe $2 if my parents are running out of $1 coins. I mean, what's the current value of a New Zealand dollar from the 1990s in today's dollars? I couldn't do that math fast enough. But the point is, it was definitely not more than $5 worth.
Yeah. And, you know, this number, $5.84, it comes from an annual survey of parents conducted by a dental insurance company called Delta Dental. And what caught my eye about this indicator is not just the kind of absolute value of it that we noticed seemed kind of high compared to our childhoods, but the average value of a lost tooth has actually fallen kind of a lot over the last year. In 2023, it was $6.23.
Whoa.
So from $6.23 to $5.84, that's a decline of 6%.
Okay, so that is real deflation. It's not just disinflation, which slows the rate of the increase in prices.
That's right. I mean, and we don't see deflation very much because honestly, if you're seeing deflation across the economy, it means something has gone really wrong. So that's not what we want. But so it's very interesting, actually, to see deflation happening, even if it's in this niche corner of the economy, if you can even call this an economy. And Delta Dental says this is the first time the tooth fairy payout has fallen in 5 years. And actually, if you look at the data by region, this decline is a lot more prominent in the Midwest. Mm. The average lost tooth there is only worth $3.63. It's down over 30% from last year.
I feel bad for a kid in Michigan, you know?
Like, I know, right? And Nate, where you are in the West, the tooth fairy is paying out over $8 a tooth, Ooh. Which has actually gone up in the last year.
The tooth fairy is, it's a much more lucrative business here on the West Coast. It's like everything.
And you know, what's also interesting is that some families pay a premium for the first tooth that falls out. It's like this whole like Byzantine pricing structure for teeth, I guess. And Delta Dental says the average value of a first lost tooth is $7.09. And, you know, I know some families in my town that go up to $10 for the first tooth.
What? Oof. Outrageous. What are these baller kids doing with all that money? I want to know.
Maybe they're investing in increased oil and gas production. This episode was produced by Cooper Katz-McKim with engineering by Sino Lafredo and Neil Rauch. It was fact-checked by Sarah Juarez and edited by Patty Hirsch. Kicking Cannon is the show's editor, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
This message comes from Jackson. Seek clarity in retirement planning at jackson.com. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Inc., Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.